Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And guess who I brought tonight with me?
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, everyone. This is who? Richard.
Well, do you think we should wish them all a happy Easter?
Well, I guess we could do that. Even though, was that for next year or what?
No, well, it was supposed to be for this Easter. And yeah, we had complications. What can I say? And we're just getting to it now. But I'll have all of you know that this is going to be one marvelous program. No matter what you call it, it's going to be a topic that you're interested in, Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. However, they're coming to talk about things that we really don't know about, perhaps. And that is what is so exciting, that there are things that, well, we kind of have heard secondhand. This, we're going to hear directly from them, which to my point of thinking is going to be quite miraculous. What do you say, Richard?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty interesting. I'm interested to see what he's got to say. I mean, I think we know some of it, but we certainly don't know all of it. So it's going to be interesting.
So what do you say we get right into it? We've got callers on the line already waiting to have their little say. And so what I would like for you to do, Richard, is call in Yeshua. And when you do, I would like for you to describe his energy, the way he feels in your energy field. And I am going to ask people to put your thoughts into your heart center and into your third eye. And as Richard describes Yeshua's energy, I want you to think of his words, and perhaps you will see Yeshua in your third eye and feel him, because I know there are a lot of people who are on the line right now who have had a lifetime with Yeshua. And when we do our work, and we have people on the line who have had a lifetime with Yeshua, they start to remember. And that is what I am hoping that you can do today. So focus on remembering, my little cherubims that are out there. So Richard, if you'd be kind enough to call on Yeshua, describe his energies, dear.
And he's here. And his energy is a strong energy, not an overbearing energy, but a strong, powerful energy. And yet it has a gentleness to it, almost a feminine aspect to it. There is power, but this gentleness. It's an interesting combination. It is undeniably a masculine energy and yet has that balance to it. A power but a gentleness is perhaps the best words that I could use. And if it doesn't sound like repetition, both power and strength, they are a little different. The strength is kind of the solidity, if you will, of the energy, and the power is the way the energy expresses. That might be a little subtle, perhaps, but that's my experience.
My, that's
a beautiful energy, just a beautiful energy from Yeshua. And he really has stepped very close to me, because normally I don't feel his energy as strongly as I'm experiencing it now, so he's making it very easy for me to describe it in this way. So thank you for your assistance, Yeshua.
That's beautiful. And I hope some of our friends out there are able to connect not only to that energy and perhaps see his face, but maybe memories will start to open up for you, because I know there's cherubim on the line today, and Yeshua was surrounded by cherubim during that lifetime. Also, many of the people on the line were Essenes also, along and walked with Yeshua. So if you start seeing visions of Yeshua, or see yourself as an Essene, or see yourself as walking along the roads with him, what you might do is step up, step next to him, and ask him to show you his face. It is quite extraordinary for those that we have worked with our conference calls with individuals when they are able to look into his face, look into his eyes. So work with that, my friends. So Richard, what does Yeshua wish to say as his first message?
Let's see what he has to say. And he's here and he is saying, "My dear friends, it has taken us some time to get to this event, this opportunity that we planned for several weeks ago. And even though Carolyn is not one to talk about this, she has been prevented from being on the show because those of the dark have worked very hard to prevent her from being able to work in all the work that she does, not just these radio shows. And it is because of their efforts to interfere with her, to make it difficult for her to walk, to cause her blood pressure to skyrocket to levels that really, if you asked a doctor, he would say she should be in hospital in intensive care. But it has been their strategy and their approaches, and hopefully all of that will be behind these two very, very soon. And so I wanted to acknowledge the work that these two do, in particular the trials and tribulations that Carolyn has stepped through in bringing forth her mission and this work in this lifetime. And so to the subjects that I told these ones that I wished to speak about today. Firstly, there is the story, of course, that my body was placed in that tomb for 3 days. And from there I seemingly got up and almost disappeared, you could say. And there are some misunderstandings about what occurred at that time. The truth of the matter is that I did not die on the cross, and some of you understand this. I had studied from a young age the ability to still my bodily signs, you could say, the bodily functions which indicate that the physical body is alive and well. And so I'd learnt to still those bodily signs. And so I did that in that very difficult and stressful situation. And I will add that I was aided and abetted in doing this by those of the Essenes that were present at the crucifixion. They held the space, if you will, for me to do that. They brought very focused energy to support me in doing that. Indeed, many of the Essenes elsewhere, even though they were not physically present, also brought great focused energy to support my work, if you will, in that moment when it was deemed that I was dead, but indeed I was not. I was in that, you might say, comatose state. And so it was that I was taken down from the cross and transferred to the tomb that had been prepared in particular by Joseph of Arimathea, but of course all those that assisted in that preparatory work. And it was a tomb that belonged to Joseph, who was, as some of you may understand, was my uncle and indeed the father of Mary Magdalene, and was a half-brother to my mother, the one you know of as Mother Mary. And indeed it was Joseph of Arimathea, who was perhaps the wealthiest man in the world at that time, because of his trading activities and his ownership of tin mines, a key resource for the Romans at that time and for other reasons, and was the reason that I was able to do the work that I did, not just me, but indeed the work that Mary Magdalene and I did together, because in truth, what is looked at as my ministry was in truth a joint ministry, because she was always there when I was working, supporting the work that I was doing energetically. And so it was his great wealth that in truth made it possible for me to study all those years, to take me to Britain when I was young and to study with the Druids and fund my time in India, where I studied with many great teachers, including the great Babaji. But I digress. And so I was transferred into that tomb. And as you know, I stayed in that tomb for 3 days. And there was a great deal of work done to treat my extensive wounds, to encourage the rapid healing of my physical body, which certainly was quite damaged by that experience. And so part of my mission that, again, some of you understand, but perhaps most of you do not, was to reconnect the energies, if you will, between... Something's happening, Carolyn, with your microphone. I'm not sure what it is.
I'm fine.
Okay, the microphone's getting a beating. I can't hear what I'm...
I'm sorry.
Thanks. And so part of my mission was to reconnect the energy lines, you could say, between this dimension and that higher dimension to which you will ascend. These energy connections were broken during the fall in Atlantis, and without these being repaired, it would not have been possible for humanity to ascend at that March equinox of March 2013, as is currently planned. And so part of my mission was to reconnect those energy lines. And there were many ways that I could have done this. However, that time in the tomb was a perfect opportunity for me to do this, because in a sense I needed to enter an altered consciousness, if you will, to be able to do this work. And indeed, I entered that altered consciousness during that time in the tomb and undertook this energy work. And the impact of entering that altered consciousness was that it caused my body to experience tremendously intense energies. You could say it was almost like my body was radioactive during the time that I was doing that work. And so this is why there is that imprint on that cloth known as the Shroud of Turin, which indeed was the cloth that covered my body during the time I was in that tomb. And the reason it is imprinted is because of the energy that my body was carrying as I undertook that work to reconnect these energy lines between the dimension you are in and the angelic dimension to which you will be ascending. And so that is why this imprint is upon the Shroud of Turin, and it is a true relic, if you will. It is in truth the shroud which covered my body at that time, and certainly there has been evidence to confirm that if people are willing to accept the evidence that has come forth. And there are those that also disagree with it. But the truth of the matter is that that shroud indeed was the cloth which covered my body during the time that I was in the tomb. And This is why that shroud was imprinted in the way that it has been. And so I wanted to share this with you. I also indicated that I wished to share some other aspects of the mission that Mary Magdalene and I shared, because some of this has not been made public. Indeed, there is quite a deal of our mission that has not been, in general, made public. And just as that energy work was about reconnecting in preparation, reconnecting these two dimensions in preparation for the ascension process that you are about to experience, so too many other elements of our work were associated with this preparation for the unfolding of events which will begin with that December 2012 solstice. Truly, the key aspects of our mission were related to this time rather than the time in which we lived. Yes, there was the public mission for some 3 or so years that you are aware of. But indeed, our mission was much broader than what we undertook in that time, the public healing work, the public teachings that we undertook. The aspects of the mission that I wished to share with you are in two areas. Firstly, it is time for you all to understand that a key aspect of our mission was to undertake some repair work, if you will, for the human DNA. As some of you are aware, the human DNA was interfered with by those ones you know of as the Anunnaki, a group that came for various reasons to planet Earth, and some of them decided to, you could say, enslave humanity for their own purposes, and so they made changes to the human DNA for their own nefarious ends. And the impact of these changes meant that the human DNA strands that had been deactivated, which were over some 2,000 DNA strands that were active prior to the fall in Atlantis, the reactivation of these strands, which is planned as part of the preparation process, if you will, for ascension, this reactivation would not have been possible because of this interference. And so one of the plans was for the DNA of our children, our 3 children, would spread throughout humanity over the intervening 2,000 or so years and undertake this correction. This might sound highly implausible or impossible, and yet if you do the arithmetic, the mathematics of the situation, you will see that indeed it is more than plausible. It is indeed very achievable. And the truth of the matter is that this preparation for the DNA really started with our parents, because as some of you are aware, both of our mothers were aspects of Allura and both of our fathers were aspects of Sandalphon. And so that ensured that the DNA that both Mary Magdalene and I carried was of a form which ensured that it brought forth those changes that were required, those corrections that were required. And so those corrections have flowed throughout humanity over these intervening 2,000 or so years. And so we watch with great mirth, you might say, when we hear these stories coming forth about the bloodline, because in truth, all of humanity represents the bloodline in the sense of the two of us, because that was the intent. And indeed, there was work undertaken to protect and reinforce that bloodline for many generations after we were present. And this in part is what has led to these myths, these stories, these legends, if you will, about the Merovingian dynasty within France and so on. And it certainly was the case that the Catholic Church worked very hard to try and understand what was being done. They never did understand what was happening, but they knew there was something important about the DNA of Mary Magdalene and myself, the DNA of our children. And we undertook some steps to ensure that not all of the children could have been taken out at one time. And so once they were a few years of age, they were spread around the world, as some of you understand. And so this is something that it is time for humanity to understand as you approach that special time where the ascension process will be undertaken. And so I wanted to bring this forth in this forum so that you understand this, because it truly is time when many of the secrets of the light begin to come forth for humanity's understanding, just as there will be many secrets in relation to the dark's activities upon this planet that will also be exposed between now and the end of 2012. So I wanted to share this with you. The other element that I wished to mention is that part of the reason we went to France is that there is a special energy vortex which is present near Rennes-le-Château, which is where we lived for the time that we shared together in France. And we worked with that vortex, which creates a connection between all there is in the center of the cosmos and the center of the planet. And the energy work that we did with that vortex helped to, again, set up some energetic structures which will support the ascension process that will unfold in your very near future. And so there was indeed a very good reason for us to go to France, and indeed it was part of the plan from the very beginning that we spend time in France working with that vortex. I believe this is the first time that this has been shared as public information. And so I wanted you to be aware of this also, because again, it gives you a broader sense of the degree to which our mission was truly about what is unfolding in your time, this special, special time upon your planet, which begins with that solstice of December 2012, that special time and date that has been pointed to by not only the Mayan calendar, which is the most public vehicle by which this has been expressed, but indeed so many traditions, if you examine the information that is contained historically in many, many of the spiritual traditions around the world. And so this, my friends, is what I wanted to share with you in what was to be an Easter message, but courtesy of our dark friends, it did not quite make that date. However, you have this information, and it is no less valuable that it be shared now as distinct from a few weeks ago. And so it is.
Thank you, Yeshua. I know that those who are listening who either knew you in that lifetime or did not are very glad to receive what you are telling us. Also, so many of our friends are preparing for ascension, are finding the information and doing what is necessary, and what a joy it is to them to know the work that you and Mary Magdalene accomplished. So for all of those things, we thank you. And I particularly wish to thank Richard for bringing this information through. How beautiful that was. Now, I would like to ask Yeshua something, and do you want me to start taking messages from our, or questions from our callers online, or were you planning on bringing on Mary Magdalene first? What do you wish for us to do?
It was not my plan to bring Mary Magdalene forth. However, if you wish to connect with her, Carolyn, you are more than welcome to bring her forth. I anticipate your listeners would love to hear from her if you are willing to bring her forth.
Most certainly I am willing, and I'm sure she's there by your side. And so I call forth Mary Magdalene. And I'm going to do the same thing with Mary Magdalene that I had asked Richard to do with Yeshua. And I want all of you to place your awareness in your heart center and consider the third eye as a receptacle for seeing her face. And first of all, I would like to say that she is wearing the clothes that she loved to wear. She loves silk. And of course, there were the finances to wear silk. And in her private times with the family and with her friends, she always wore her silks. On the road with Yeshua, she would be seen in the cloak of the Essenes, a dark brown, and she would wear many times a simple white robe underneath. But she loved gaiety. She loved color. And many times she shows herself to me with this beautiful saffron silk. And there was the silk route that ran right through the area where the two of them lived when they were living in Galilee. So for them, silk was very easy to obtain. And as I look at her face, well, first we will discuss the energies. As you might expect, she has a very gentle energy. And you can actually feel the compassion. You can feel the energy of the mother. And for those who were very masculine oriented at that time, they saw this as a weakness. She has great strength in her energy, not weak at all. Very strong personality. But it was the gentleness of the mother, the compassion of the mother, that some of the apostles had difficulty working with, that Yeshua would give information to her that they hadn't shared with them. And so they had a hard time with this, some of them. There were other apostles, disciples, who were very gentle themselves, like John, and he loved her energy. And tonight, she is showing her hair pulled back. Many times she wore her hair down, flowing over her shoulders. It was long, but today she has it pulled back, and you can see she had a high forehead when you look at her this way. And she has dressed her hair with flowers, with beads in the back of her head. And there are some curls that flow down from these decorations, these ornaments. And you get a very full-faced image of her this way, because many times her cheeks were somewhat hidden by her long hair. And the hair is, I would say, auburn, maybe like a new wine. And her eyes have a greenish hue to them. I would say high cheekbones. But when you looked at her eyes, it was very much like when one would look into Yeshua's face. You didn't forget the eyes. It is as if you were held in the eyes and you didn't want to draw away from them. You wanted to stay deep within her eyes because in through her eyes you felt like this great love was holding you. You felt like her arms surrounded you. You didn't want to leave that. You just wanted to rest there, as Yeshua rested there, in her eyes. His head he would place on her shoulder, and she comforted him many times. It was a hard mission, in the sense that there were many that followed them, that loved them, but there were those that reviled them also. It was difficult living in the land of the Romans and seeing such control and poverty. And Yeshua had this great love and compassion for the children, for the people, and to see the conditions at the time was very difficult for him. And so she stood as the one who would support him through all of this. It pained him to see the people suffer as they did. Simple bread was not a commodity that was in abundance for poor people. And so that is what her energy was like, what she looked like, the role she played with her husband. The traditions that she came from were what you might expect from that period of the world. And this is the message that she wishes to relay upon to you. And it's a simple message. And she says, the time is coming when love will be understood in a manner in which it is not beholden at the present moment. As the scales of the dark fall away, and the people are united, they will start to understand they are one. They are like the individual drops of the ocean, and yet they form the ocean. And yes, you are all individuals, but the time will come when you will feel what you know, that all is one. It was intended to be that way. That was intended to have the connections between Prime Creator and every individual soul and the souls connecting with one another. And so, in essence, it formed like a triangle. And the energy was able to move to the three points on the triangle. And all felt the serenity of this, the beauty of this, the connection of this. And it is not too far in the future. It is practically on your doorstep. And that's all she has to say.
That was beautiful, Carolyn. Thank you.
Thank you. And so, we will take the first call on line one. Elaine from Massachusetts. What question do you have for Yeshua?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. The prayer of my heart for many years has been that the Father's kingdom would be restored upon the earth. And I'm aware that the DNA of so many people has been damaged. And I was wondering if I had walked with him or I merely am sensible of his mission now in this lifetime. That's the first question. And I do have another one. My father's family.
Wait a minute, darling. Oh, let's stop with that. It gets too confusing.
Yes, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
It's nothing to be sorry about. You're just excited. Indeed, this is a remarkable moment, yes. So,
indeed.
Richard, ask Yeshua if he understands the question.
Well, I don't, so...
Elaine,
I'm confused.
Yes. Would you give the repeat your first question, please?
Oh yes. Given that I have been praying for years for the Father's kingdom to be established upon the earth, and the DNA of the humans restored, repaired, am I one of the cherubim, or did I walk with you on the earth? And how do I relate to you?
Just stop there, Elaine, dear. So,
I better stop.
I got it.
Okay.
So let's see what Yeshua has to say.
Thank you.
My dear Elaine, you have walked in this lifetime with a great commitment to fulfilling what you came to fulfill, this urgency that you feel within you to see this restoration that you speak of. It reflects the mission that you came to fulfill, and it reflects that same drive that so many of the cherubim have felt, because you indeed are one of those that came forth to assist humanity to prepare for this coming time. And yes, as one who is part of that cherubim group, it also, though you do not understand this, it also by definition means that you were one of the Essenes that made up that community that supported the coming forth of our mission. Because most of the Essenes were indeed cherubim. And indeed, most of the cherubim, indeed almost all of the cherubim who were incarnated at that time, were part of that Essene community. And so it is.
Thank you, Yeshua. And quickly, Elaine, what was the second question?
Oh, yes, my father's family came from France, and I said to him at one time, Dad, I think we were Jewish a long time ago. And he said, well, it must have been very long ago, because we've been Catholics for generations. And as I've been listening to you, Carolyn, and you, Richard, and I've come to understand Yeshua's mission, I was wondering if my father was a descendant of one of your children.
Good question.
Of my father's family.
So, Richard, what does Yeshua say to this?
There is a connection that goes back a long way. As I explained, it is inevitable that everyone upon the planet, in one sense, is a descendant of our children. Humanity, for the most part, does not understand the level of what you might call mixing which occurs within the human gene pool as you reflect upon the interrelationships that unfold over many, many generations. There is a great deal more mixing, there is a great more interconnection than is recognized. And so, inevitably, you could say that every individual on the planet is a descendant of our three children, indeed descendants of us. And in a light-hearted manner, when we talk about you as our children, there is some truth to it that is perhaps not recognized. But indeed anyone who was present upon the planet some 2,000 or so years ago who had three or more children, and those children survived and had children themselves, everyone upon the planet would be their descendants. It is the nature of things. This might sound confusing, but as I said, if you do the arithmetic, the mathematics of it, you will see this truth. It will surprise you. And so the answer to that is yes, but indeed it makes him no different from anyone else.
So there you go, Elaine. We've got to move on. Don't have much time.
All right.
So, yes,
thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let us take Sue from Georgia on line two, please.
Hello, Carolyn. Hello, Richard. Long time no talk since Tuesday.
I see.
Darling, how are you? I hope
what can we
Karen
do for you?
Feeling better.
Would you say?
I hope that Carolyn is feeling better.
Well, I'm trying to be joyful. Yes, I am feeling better at the moment. But what can we do for you, darling? We don't have much time on the show, and we want to give everybody an answer to their call.
I was a cherub, and again, an Essene as well. Is there anything that Yeshua can tell me that will bring something back to me that will confirm this for me?
Let me understand what you're asking. You're asking Yeshua to give you some information that might help you to remember that you're a cherubim. Is that what you're asking?
Yes. Basically.
Well, Richard, let's see what Yeshua has to say. I know what I would tell her, but let's hear what Yeshua has to say.
Firstly, I worked with Carolyn to put together that page, which is on the I Am Yeshua Returned website. And its purpose and focus was to assist those who shared that lifetime to begin to trigger their memories of that time. Because all of the cherubim will have spent some time on at least one of those sites. And I will mention with some humor that when I worked with Carolyn to put that together, she and Richard had no idea that they were going to be connecting with the cherubim in this way and bringing them forth and sending so many to that page. Thanks, Yeshua. And so I wish to mention to you that you walked very closely to Mary Magdalene and myself. You worked very closely with us. You worked, you could say, in a support role for our work. It was not recognized by those who read the Bible how many people were involved with supporting our mission on so many levels. It was not a simple task to bring forth that ministry, if you will, over those 3 years. It was a very intense time, and it took great support from many people to have that work. And so you were one of the support team, if you will, not one of the disciples as they are known, but one of the many Essenes who acted in support of our mission. And so you may, as you go into meditation, visualize yourself being present at some of the scenes which are described in the Bible, some of the scenes where I was working. For example, bringing forth the Beatitudes. You were present at that time, and so I encourage you to read that story in the Bible and to visualize yourself present, because this may assist you in reconnecting with those memories. And so it is.
Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
We got to move on, dear. We don't have much time.
Thank you.
And you're welcome, sweetie. Now, we probably have, this is the last call that we can take. Mark from somewhere in Australia is on line 3. Mark.
Oh, hello, Carolyn. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Mark. How are you? This is Mark Cox, I presume, yes?
No, Mark Hensel.
Oh, Mark Hensel. I'm sorry, Mark. I got you. Thank you. Wrong mark.
We've got 4 minutes, lovelies. Mark, your question
okay,
real quick.
Well, I'll be quick with my question. From what I understand, we're moving from a third dimension duality to a fifth dimension divine oneness. And I see around me a lot of people, spiritual people, working towards ascension, and they're focused on the darkness and negativity and working through it. And I know you need to work through that, but it seems like focusing on that duality is focusing on an old paradigm. What I want to know is, should we not be, to work towards ascension, focusing on our divine oneness and light and not putting so much attention on the darkness that it's that's attracting to us?
Beautiful question. Richard, what does Yeshua have to say about this?
My dear Mark, my first suggestion to you as an individual, which ultimately is the only place you can ever focus, is to focus on the processes and the tools which Richard shared with you to move yourself forward, to undertake your own healing, because that is all you need to focus on. There is much discussion about the notion of duality and so on within this consciousness. There is much misunderstanding about the true nature of the consciousness which exists on planet Earth and how it was created and why. It is this distinction that is made about so-called duality in this consciousness and moving to a oneness in the fifth dimension is overly simplistic. And the only thing that any individual needs to focus on is firstly those three steps to prepare for ascension. Acknowledge your creator, clear your negative karmic past through the karmic clearing command, and rejuvenate your physical body through the rejuvenation command. These are the key steps. And those of you who have stepped forth to assist with that preparation have some additional work, which is to undertake some healing and clearing for yourself in this lifetime. The reason I say it is specific to you is because when you experience the rejuvenation command, it triggers your stepping into the new consciousness that will begin to emerge upon the planet in association with rejuvenation. And so, in a sense, people that follow you and experience the two commands together as part of a workshop will not be required to undertake that work on this lifetime, because they will simply step forth into this new consciousness. And so that, my friend, is where you should place your focus. And so it is.
Thank you, Yeshua. And thank you, Mark, for asking that question. I think it was a very pertinent question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We have other callers, but we are right now where we do have to say goodbye in a few moments. And thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Mary Magdalene. Richard, is there any last bit of information that you wish to give our listeners?
You mean Yeshua or me?
No, you personally.
Oh, okay.
We have 5 minutes.
Well, something I would say is that today Carolyn and I took a message for this full moon, which is about to be with us, and looking at the message, it has a deep connection to the message which Father God gave us for the recent new moon, and it's certainly very encouraging that perhaps we are finally entering the time when the key transitional point, the coming forth of rejuvenation and hence the triggering of this new consciousness that Yeshua just mentioned, will be with us. And so I encourage you all to tap into that message that, if you're on our list, you will have received in the last couple of hours. And if you are not on the list, then I suggest you go to our website, the2012countdown.com, and register. And you can find the message and the recording at the bottom of the 2012 timeline page on that website, so you can get all that information that I shared with people today. So I just wanted to mention that. It's a very encouraging and exciting message. I know we've brought a number forth saying, you know, it's about to be on our doorstep, and there is something about this which feels so powerful, so relevant. I met with a friend today who was interested in this area, and I was drawn to comment to him that there is a pregnancy about this time. It's like something is about to burst forth, and we shall see, but I'm encouraged by the time we are in and the messages that we were given today.
Thank you, Richard. And real quick, tell people about how to sign up for our messages if they're not getting them presently in their email.
Yes, as I mentioned, go to the 2012countdown.com website. You can enter your name and email address on the top or bottom of any page on that website, and that will get you on the list. You'll receive an email with an opt-in link. Click on that link, and it's all done.
I would like for you also to review what Yeshua mentioned about memories. You know, we have that page with memories that we worked with him to help people remember if they lived with him during that time.
Yes, there's a page on the IamYeshuaReturned.com website, a website that we don't publicize overly much, but there's some exciting information on that site. And there's a page on that website called Our Memories, and that page has a bunch of photographs from that area which Yeshua worked with Carolyn to select, and then he provided some descriptive text for each of those photographs, and they were provided, that page was provided for the specific purpose of assisting those who shared that lifetime to begin to remember. Because the energies are on the planet now to assist us with remembering, and that will continue to unfold. And the people that I work with soul healings, you know, I see a number of people who have amazing recall of past life memories, and many, of course, like me, who don't have too much recall as yet. But it is a time when it's coming forth, and that page is specifically there to assist you in remembering.
We have 1 minute, Richard. Would you just mention the new ebook that we did with Steve?
Yes. Again, perhaps all of you are aware that we kind of had a tap on the shoulder from Steve a couple of years ago, letting us know that he wanted to bring some messages forth. And he is a cherubim that came forth to assist with the preparation, though he didn't understand it during his lifetime. And so he's giving us messages from the dimension he's now in, talking about the changes that are coming forth. And it's fascinating material that he's given us. Again, Steve Fawcett Lives is the primary website for that, though you can find a page also on the 2012countdown.com that gives you the information on those ebooks.
Thank you for everything, for all who supported us today. It's time to say goodbye.
Well, thank you, Carolyn, and it's just wonderful to see you in a place again where you can do a radio show. It's beautiful.
Goodbye, all. Until the next time.
Bye, everyone.